Welcome to Brian Spain Domain, and today we are going to talk about a very recent event in Spain that has tragically rocked the country. On October 29th of this year, 2024, Spain experienced catastrophic flooding, primarily impacting the Valencia region in the east of Spain and parts of Castilla-La Mancha and parts of Andalusia. A massive flash flood left the country and even the world, in fact, in shock, as nearly 225 people to date have died from the devastating onrush of water that literally turned the streets of dozens of towns and villages into lethal rivers. Towns like Paiporta in Valencia were particularly hard hit, losing over 60 residents alone. Torrential rains brought by a powerful weather phenomenon known as la gota fría, which literally means the cold drop. The storm system is actually known as a Dana, D-A-N-A, and it led to flash floods, widespread destruction, and significant loss of life. Towns like Utiel, Requena, and Chiva were especially hard hit, with homes and vehicles swept away by rapidly rising waters, and some areas saw more than 400 liters of rain per square meter. In some areas, they basically got a year's equivalent of precipitation in just a few hours. The gota fría is a fairly typical phenomenon at this time of year. It's a weather pattern that involves a low pressure system that gets cut off and sort of stalls over the eastern half of Spain and parts of the western Mediterranean, and instead of moving on, kind of just rolls around, often for days on end. The result is prolonged periods of very intense rain, which then slides down towards the coast. Because the soil in that part of the country is not very porous, runoff is common, as are flash floods. But this time we are talking about a whole different dimension. The most complicated part of this flooding is that generally the most impacted areas are often places where little or no rain has fallen. The downpours usually take place miles and miles, in this case to the west in the hills or higher grounds, and water starts rushing down a terrain known as an alluvial plain towards the coast. Much of the water approaches at a very fast pace as it comes down the steep ravines known as torrents. They are often dry riverbeds that only fill when heavy rains come. So unless people have prior warning, it's hard to know that it's coming. That's why alert systems are in place. Warnings of a potential severe weather event were made early on the morning of the 29th. But not a full-on alert ordering people to stay indoors. That didn't come to nearly 12 hours later. And in fact, the governor of Valencia, Carlos Mazón, indicated that the storm would begin to dissipate by 6 o'clock that evening, giving the sensation that things were improving when in fact the worst was about to strike. The extent of the damage, in addition to the high loss of life, has been staggering. 40,000 cars were totaled, 2,000 businesses destroyed, tens of thousands of homes ruined or destroyed, thousands of residents have been displaced, and some areas remained unreachable except by helicopter for a very long time, leaving the affected communities isolated and in dire need of basic assistance. Floodwaters continued to cover large areas, and the risk of disease from stagnant water and decomposing materials is growing, prompting public health warnings and urgent cleanup efforts. Bridges, roads, and essential infrastructure suffered extensive damage, and Valencia's Turia River, rerouted decades ago to protect the city center, helped shield some of the area from the worst impacts. All the same, it's going to take a long time to recover from this. The disaster has also led to widespread anger and frustration among residents, some of whom feel the emergency response was insufficient. Emotional scenes unfolded as the Spanish King Felipe VI and his wife, Queen Letizia, visited the region and in particular the town of Paiporta, with protesters voicing their grief and discontent. Some of that angry mob actually hurled mud at the visiting group. The prime minister who was with them left quickly, but the king and queen stayed a little bit longer and made an effort to try to listen to some of the people and hear what they had to say. Local and international volunteers have mobilized to help the hard-hit areas, and in addition to that, 10,000 members of the armed forces are helping with the cleanup effort. It hasn't taken long for the political blame game to get going, with politicians trying to take advantage of the tragedy to try to make the other side look bad or negligent or irresponsible. There's actually a lot to talk about here, but the full story isn't out yet, so we'll have to probably wait a little bit to tell you more about that. But so far, a number of big mistakes were made, and much of the controversy is centering now around the governor of Valencia, Carlos Mazón. As we speak, this was the second deadliest natural disaster of this nature in the history of Spain, behind an episode of horrific flooding in Catalonia in September of 1962, which resulted in the death of at least 800 people, though the final tally has never been known. Determining the probable causes of what made this event the catastrophic nightmare that it became is still being worked out. As I mentioned before, this type of weather is not unusual in Valencia at this time of year, but the intensity of the past few years of these gotas frías culminating in this year's storm have led experts to suggest that climate change has to do with the increased severity of the weather events. That might explain that part, but the devastation needs explaining too. It seems for sure that there was a breakdown in the warning in communications. The weather agency apparently was making it well known that this was going to be a potentially devastating storm, but it seems that once things happened, the authorities were slow to alert the people of the impending doom. This is something that has to be addressed. There is also the factor that many of these areas that were most affected were used to be small towns in the south of Valencia, south of the city itself, many of which have blossomed into large bedroom communities with uncontrolled building and urban planning, making them major targets for this type of flooding. Looked at now, it was a disaster in the waiting, and yet some say it could have been worse. The city of Valencia itself was conspicuously saved from the disaster, and the reason for this was the worst catastrophe to affect the region up until this year. It took place 70 years before. Known as the Great Flood of Valencia, this event struck on October 14th, 1957. If you think about it, another fall weather event. This is when the Gota Fria strikes, and it left a significant mark on the city's landscape and infrastructure. It stemmed from torrential rains that caused the Turia River, which is the river that used to go through the heart of the city, to overflow. The result was widespread devastation across the city, leading to dozens of deaths, thousands of injuries, and extensive property damage. The water levels rose to over 3 meters, 9 feet, flooding neighborhoods, homes, and public buildings, including historic sites. It claimed about 80 lives and displaced thousands of residents. Essential infrastructure, including bridges and roads and public transport, were rendered unusable. This flood highlighted Valencia's vulnerability to natural disasters of this kind and led to major relief efforts both locally and from the Spanish government. However, the flood scale underscored the need for longer-term infrastructure improvements to prevent similar events in the future. This was known as the Plan Sur, the South Plan. The plan involved rerouting the Turia to bypass the city entirely. The river was diverted several kilometers south of the city, and the old riverbed was later transformed into what they called the Turia Gardens, a massive park, basically a green space that stretches throughout the city. It's a beautiful place and is now one of Valencia's most popular attractions and also home to the Science Museum, the Aquarium, and the Opera House, and other cultural offers. So, the Valencia floods of 1957 basically transformed the city, leading to significant urban planning changes that continue to shape Valencia's modern landscape and makes the city what it is today. So, in a sense, the diverted channel, the rerouted river, served its purpose of lowering the risk of flooding in the city itself, while absorbing the bulk of the floodwaters. That is true, it didn't overflow. But there were other areas where the smaller rivers were going through, and they were slammed by this flooding. So Spain, and particularly the region of Valencia, are going to have to rethink this one and do what it can to avoid a similar catastrophe in the future. Here at Brian's Spain Domain, we extend our condolences to the families affected by the loss of a loved one, as well as all those who have suffered from property loss, business loss, and other kinds of suffering. We here have done our best to contribute to the cause, and we hope for the best so that the people there can recover from the tragic moments that they are going through, and their lives can return to normal as quickly as possible. Then that'll be all for our podcast for today. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos, or if you wish to support Brian's Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.